have not had an opportunity to give, please do so. Amen. I want to speak about being alive to the Spirit this morning. Alive to the Spirit. If you turn with me to Romans, find Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. It says, "For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Thank you, Lord. So for just a few minutes this morning, as I mentioned, I want to talk about being alive to the Spirit. What Spirit am I referring to? As we know, when we submit our lives to God, when we repent, when we have faith and believe in the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, and we accept him as our personal Savior, once that surrender happens, there's an immediate indwelling of the Holy Spirit that happens on the inside of us. And so when we're alive to the Spirit I'm speaking of is the Holy Spirit that lives in us. So just for a few minutes, I want to talk about, help us to understand what it means for us as Christians to be alive to the Spirit. And to fully understand what that means, we're going to talk about the contrast of being alive to the Spirit, the change that happens in us when we are alive in the Spirit, and ultimately the charge upon us as Christians when we are alive to the Spirit. Romans chapter 6, verse 11, in that passage we just read, says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So to fully understand what it means to be alive to the Spirit, we have to understand the contrast, which is being dead unto sin, dead indeed unto sin. Jesus is our example. Pastor Lincoln shared this scripture this morning, John chapter 12, verse 24. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." In this scripture, Jesus is that wheat. And you see, the life that happened, the fruit that happened in us could not have happened had he not died, had he not been buried and resurrected. So in this scripture, when it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die," see, death is required. Just like for Jesus, death was required. If he had not died, it says he would have abided alone. He would have been the only one like Jesus. But instead, God had a redemption plan for us. And he sent his son to die and to bear the burden of our sin, not his. He was perfect in all things. But see, this had to happen. He had to die. And because he died and was resurrected, we can now be the extension of Jesus. We can now die to our flesh the way he died, a natural death. But because he died his natural death, we can now live spiritually in him. It says, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And like Pastor Lincoln spoke about this morning, Christian fruit, that's us. That's a beautiful thing when you think about it. The sacrifice that he made in his death, and because he died and was buried and rose again, now we can live. Not just naturally in this body, but we're going to live eternally with the Lord. And as we abide in him and we remain alive to the spirit and dead to our flesh, what does the word say? We abide in him, he abides in us. And we produce much fruit by abiding in him. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 through 25, it says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lusts. And if we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. The contrast is we must crucify our flesh if we want to be alive in the spirit. The flesh with the affections and the lusts. You see, when we're so afraid of letting things go, we're so afraid of what we might miss out on, not understanding that to live with him, to live eternally with him, that is the gain. That is what we stand to gain. As Pastor Lincoln mentioned this morning, I teased him for stepping in all in my message. But as he mentioned this morning, you know, it's not about what we do. We're so focused on what we're doing. It's about what he did. It's about what he called us to be and to become in him. When we're being alive to the spirit and dying to our flesh on a regular and a daily basis, I'm dying to myself. What does that mean? When pride wants to rise up in me, I'm humble. When I want to be angry and hateful and mean, I'm loving. When I want to be selfish and make it all about me, I make it about others and I esteem others higher than myself. When I think I want it, I know it all and no one can tell me anything, I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to hear. I'm willing to receive correction and guidance. It's not always easy to die to ourselves. It's not. I think a human characteristic is to fight for life. But until we accept the Lord, we're dead. We're the walking dead, like the series that was out a few years ago. Until you accept the sacrifice, until you evidence faith in the cross and you believe in Jesus and you accept him, you're not living. You may be walking and breathing, so you may be alive, but there is no life in that. It's only death. So you're walking here dead on this earth, and you'll die eternally, separated from the Lord. That's not a life I want for myself. So I choose every day, even on the hard days and the hard times, to just die to myself. This year makes 10 years that I've been in Christ Unveiled. And most of the time that I've been here, at least since we've been in this building, on every Sunday that I'm here, at least unless our family's out of town, I'm here and I'm on this stage. I'm human. So there are some Sundays when I get up here and I don't feel like singing. I don't feel like praising. I may be sick in my body. I may have just had an argument with my husband, or my child may have just upset me. I may have had a bad week at work. I may have had a death in the family. So there are times when I don't want to serve here. There are times when I don't want to speak. I don't want to minister. But you see, it's not about me. I have to die to myself. I have to die to my wants and my desires and my agenda and my feelings and my emotions, and be alive to the Holy Spirit that dwells in me, because I want to be that Christian that bears fruit, not 30 and 60, 100. But I can only do that if I die to my flesh, if I die to sin. In order for me to truly be alive to the Holy Spirit that lives in me, I have to die to myself. I must die to myself. So the contrast for us to fully, really get a grip on what it means to be alive, we need to know and understand what it means to die first, because that death is necessary. And by Jesus' example, we know that without that death, there is no life. There is no fruit. So if we want to bear that fruit, if we want to be the persons that God has called us to be, death is required. The change. When we're alive to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives in us, there is a change. How does our life change? How does our conduct change? How does our walk and our talk change? What is the evidence of that fruit in our lives? Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." You see, it's real simple. Just think about what your priorities are in life. What is most important to you? When you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing on your mind? Who is the first person on your mind? Are you thinking about the Lord and what he may have for you to do in that day? Are you just thanking him because you opened your eyes and you took a breath and he allowed your heart to beat? Or are you weighed down by the angry family member that you had a conversation with before you went to sleep? Or all the things on your checkoff list that you have to do for the day? What are your priorities? Think about it. What are you giving your money to? Are you being obedient with your giving to the ministry? Are you being obedient to the Lord in your prayer life, in your Bible reading and study, in your church attendance? It's so easy to roll off the lips. I love the Lord. God is my first priority. I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength and all that. But it's not about lip service. It's about action. It's about action. And if you are a true hearer of the word and you're being alive to the Spirit and you're dying to the sin, to your flesh, you will walk it out. His word says we would mind the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. The more that we are alive to the Spirit, we desire spiritual things. We know that there are things that we have to do. We have to work to pay bills. You know, we have to take care of our family, of our spouses. We have responsibilities on the earth. We know that. But we make a purposeful intent to put God first in our life. I can't tell you how many times I've laid in the bed and I have a conversation with the Lord and I look at the time and I'm like, it's 3 o'clock, Lord, in the morning. I don't want to get up. I want to sleep. Please just give me a few more minutes. And I remember a couple of months ago, I told my husband, I'm just going to get up. I don't care what time it is. I'm just going to get up, because the day that I override that, something always is off that day because I wasn't obedient to God's call to prayer. And what we have to understand, we have things we pray for, but when you pray in the Spirit, you could be praying for your brother and sister in another country that you don't even know that you're praying for. So we have to be faithful too when God calls us to pray. We don't know what we're praying for in the Spirit. We could be praying for any and everything. But even, you know, in our prayer, just taking time to spend with him and listen to him, I can't explain it, but when I wake up in the morning and I pray around 3, 4, 5 in the morning, it's like the whole world stands still. And you feel like God just hears you more. And you can hear him because you don't have all the stuff going on around you. And you can just focus your full intent on him. So the change, one of the changes that happens is we have a greater desire for eternal things, the things of God. Less of the world is more to us. We don't crave the things and want the things that the world wants. And it's less desirable to us. I have conversations with certain people about things, and I could care less about the content of what they're telling me. It just doesn't appeal to me at all. Maybe at one point in my life it did, but now, because I'm desiring more of the Spirit of God and more of eternal things in my life, it just doesn't matter anymore. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." See, it's not about us. When we're walking in the Spirit, we're not relying on our efforts. You'll fail every single time. But when you're alive to the Spirit and you're relying on the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to comfort you, to correct you, when you lean in on that strength, you can walk it out. You can walk out in the Spirit the way God wants you to, because you're not relying on your own efforts. A huge change that happened for me when I just truly and fully surrendered myself to the Spirit is I began to see, and this didn't happen overnight. It's taken time. Even just a few weeks ago, having a conversation with my husband, I realized this. But so often we see things with natural eyes instead of spiritual eyes. When you're dying to your flesh and you're dying to sin and you're really spending that time with the Lord and in his word, you can see things with spiritual eyes. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. This scripture isn't mean to bring fear to us, but reality. You see, there's a natural place that we're in now, but there's also a spiritual realm outside of this. There are beings here in the natural, and there are beings in the spiritual. We have to know our enemy and who it is that we're fighting. So you may look at this person that cuts you off on the road or curses you out, or a family member that does something that they knew was going to irritate you or anger you. You may look at your boss, your work situation, and all these things, and you see it in the natural. But we have to understand and know that there are times, just like with Job, that God allows the enemy to use a situation to come against you spiritually, like an attack. We have to see that for what it is. It's not that family member. It's not that spouse, that child, that boss, that stranger that you don't even know. It's the enemy using them to come against you. A situation, a relationship, a circumstance that is being used in the spirit, in the natural, but to attack you spiritually. And this is why it's so important for us to see with spiritual eyes and know the enemy when he presents himself to us. We're trying to fight things in the natural, but you will never win. Because you're going up against high powers, rulers of the darkness. We have no strength, but God is all powerful against those things. Only if we're alive in the Spirit. How do we even fight spiritually? We know the scripture. Let me see. Where is it? I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 6. It talks about the whole armor of God. We know all those things. The breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, prayer. We know all those things. but we're not utilizing them. We're not in the word like we need to be in the word. We're not remaining in prayer continually like we're supposed to be. We're not utilizing the tools that God gave us to fight spiritually. I learned there are things in this life, in this world, that we can't fight. We try, but we're going to lose. We have to go to God first. Let him be that first choice. Instead of trying to handle certain things on your own, go to God in prayer first. Acknowledge him in all of our ways, not just the ones you think he can handle. Stop putting the Lord in a box. He can do the impossible. That's what the word tells us, and I believe it. I have seen him do it. He can do the impossible in our lives, but we have to give the Holy Spirit latitude to do the work in us. And that requires us to die to ourselves. That change can't happen without that. It reminds me, I read through a couple of scriptures, you know, just trying to ask the Lord to bring things back to my remembrance, where his people saw things in the spirit. And I was reminded of a story in 2 Kings chapter 6, where Elisha was up against a Syrian army, and his servant looked out and saw all these chariots and horses. And he asked Elijah, "What are we going to do?" And in verse 16, he said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than be with them." We got to understand and know, you don't see the spiritual beings that are against us. But like Elisha, the Lord allowed Elisha to see, and he prayed, and God allowed his servant to see, there are more with us than there are with Satan and the demons and all the things, the evil things that he can use to come against us. But you won't see that in the natural if you're not dying to your flesh. You can only see that if you're alive and to the spirit that lives in you. Can you imagine that? You think about all the things that the enemy is hurling at you, all the fiery darts, the wreck he tries to cause you to have, the money he tries to maybe steal from what God has blessed you with, the attacks on your body with sickness and illness, all the things that the enemy tries to use. And that's all we can see. The enemy wants to blind us and distract us from the truth. And the truth is that God has angels here, that he has left charge over us. You may not see them, but they're there. And I imagine, you know, when I'm walking and when I'm driving and when I'm about, you know, just what God is. I try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If he says, "You normally go this way, but make a left," you know, or "You normally do this, but do this instead." You don't know what God is protecting you from. But if you're more leaning more towards your flesh and the sin that you just can't let go of, you might miss it because you're not alive to the spirit. I might have to close. I have so much the Lord gave me, but I hope I'm saying enough. So we talked about the contrast to being alive to the spirit and changes that happen in your body, in your life, in your walk, in your everyday. So what's the charge? What is God saying? What is he asking us? What are we going to choose? You see, the measure to which we die to sin is the measure to which we are alive in the spirit, alive to the spirit. I'm going to say that again. The measure to which we die to sin is the measure to which we are alive in the spirit. What does that even mean? The Holy Spirit can't fill us, all the compartments and places in our life, if we don't empty it first. There are some things that we are holding on to that we need to let go of. We are never going to produce that hundredfold fruit holding on to those things that we choose to hold on to. It is a choice. We can choose to continue to yield and allow sin to reign in our mortal body, or we can choose to be alive to the spirit that lives in us. Three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, give a version of this scripture in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37, when the Lord said, "And when he had called the people unto him and his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will lose his whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The word of God says, except a man be born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we have to make a choice. We either choose to die to flesh or we choose to be alive to the spirit. When we're alive to the spirit, it requires us to be fully surrendered. But when the spirit rules, sin has no power in our life. When the spirit rules, we can live in peace. We can live in joy in the middle of absolute chaos. There is divine strength in just dying to ourself and totally and fully committing and surrendering our life to the Lord. He gave us the tools. He gave us the weapons to fight. But if you don't utilize those weapons, you've already lost. It's not about us and what we do. The victory is already won. But God is charging us. He's asking us to die to self, to die to sin, and to remain alive to the Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray. Lord, we come to you, humble hearts, just asking, Lord, for your help. In our minds, and some of us in our hearts, Lord, we know the task. We know what we're supposed to do. But along the way, we have allowed the distractions, the carries, the cares of this world, and the things that weigh us down, Lord, to distract us from your purpose for our life. So right now, God, I ask and I stand in the gap for every person in this room and every person listening or watching online that may have missed the mark, God. They may be leaning more toward their flesh. They may not have completely died to their flesh, God. But you loved us so much that you sent your son. And he sacrificed his life for us. So that we could live, so that we can bear fruit, God. But only if we're alive to the Spirit that is in us, the Holy Spirit that you've blessed us with, God, that you've gifted us with, Lord. Give us the strength that we need, Father, to die daily to our flesh, God, to deny ourselves, Lord, and to commit our lives totally and fully to you, Lord. So that we can become the children of God that you have called us to be. And we ask it all in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank you all that came out this morning to join us here at Christ Unveiled. We thank those of you who are online. Thank you for joining us, and we're glad that you joined. I have a few announcements here this morning. If you haven't already given, please consider doing so. We need your help. We need your support. And thank you to those who came out this past Friday for Ignite Prayer. And also, there are Thanksgiving baskets that are available. You can either see Sister Boyd or Sister Amelia Jasper, or you can go online under Outreach and then click on Community Assistance, and you can get it that way. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then I'm going to dismiss, and we can go home. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will help us to deny ourselves daily and die to self and die to sin so that we can be alive in the Spirit and do as the Spirit will tell us to do, because God, you only have our best interest in mind. And life will be so much better for us if we listen to the Spirit. And I pray, Father God, as we leave here today, that you just give us traveling mercies back home, and that you can bring us back here again on Wednesday night. I ask this prayer in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.